Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is the Response of the Day for the 27th of Av. Thank you for joining us. Today we're going to study a tshuva of Rav Bezalel Stern in Shut B'Tzel HaChochmah, and the topic is Ma'aser Ksafim, is the custom to set aside a tenth of one's money, and the question is for what purposes one can and cannot set that money aside and use it for once it's set aside. There's a long-standing custom to set aside a tenth of one's money. That could be for tzedakah in the narrow sense of giving money to the poor. It could be in broader senses. And that's the discussion we're going to have today. I confess, Rav Bezalel Stern was an important rabbi in Australia for a while, in Europe, and then in Australia, and then moved to Eretz Israel. And part of what attracted me to sharing one of his tshuvot is that I was distantly related to him. And I think as a child, I think I must have been when I was 12 years old. The summer I was 12, I spent the summer in Eretz Israel. My grandmother, Allah Shalom, took me to Israel for the summer and paid my way, and it was a remarkable trip, and it made a deep impact on me. And I think one of the things that happened that summer was we went to a family wedding of people I never saw before or again. But one of the people that I met, I remember her pointing him out to me and introducing to me and saying who he was this Rav Bezalel Stern. So in Shut B'Tzel HaChochmah, in his response, it's called B'Tzel HaChochmah based on Bezalel, B'Tzel HaChochmah, in the shadow of wisdom, in the fourth chedek, Simon Kuf Samech Aleph, a man asks Rav Bezalel Stern the following question. He has to go to a wedding in Canada, and one of the people, one of the parties to the wedding, meaning the father-in-law, HaMechutan, is, so it might be that it's a relative of his, but on the other side, they're putting together a bus from Williamsburg to the place of the wedding. But traveling by bus all the way to Canada, I don't think it says whether it's Toronto, Montreal, wherever it is, but the travel on a bus that far is difficult. It's a long trip, and it would be hard for this man to do, and he would rather take a plane. And what he wants to know is whether he's allowed to use his Maaser Ksafim money, use money that he's put aside for Maaser Ksafim for a tenth of, to using a tenth of his money for, now he, the man asking the question, clearly assumes that it's for any mitzvah purposes, and he wants to know if he can use it for this mitzvah purpose of Simchas Chatan Vekala, of helping a Chatan and a Kala, helping a bride and groom have the complete joy of their wedding. Now, this is from the 27th of Av, Tavshin Lamed Chet, which is 1978. The plane ticket costs $100, is the number that's given in the tshuva. And he wants to know if he can use this $100 from his Maaser Ksafim money. Part of his justification was that if there wasn't a bus, then it's clearly him, the man asking the question, that he would be allowed to, because it's a dvar mitzvah. It's a mitzvah purpose. The mitzvah purpose is to make a chatan and kala happy. But now that he can do it for free, that's why he's asking the question. So Rav Bezalel Stern's answer is going to take apart the issue more fully. Points up the Ramah in Yeridea in Reish Mem Tet. See if Aleph, in the name of the Ma'aril, says that you shouldn't use Maaser Ksafim money for things like a Devar Mitzvah, for mitzvah purposes, like Neirot LeBeit HaKnesset, like today would be the equivalent, I guess, of paying the electric bill, but back in their times, it was lighting, the paying for the candles that would light the Beit Knesset, which was the cost of lighting the Beit Knesset. So that was a mitzvah purpose, and the Ma'aril said you shouldn't use it. Rak den l'aniyim, it should all go to the poor. Whereas the Taz there says, Rav Bezalel Stern refers to them as the twos, the tav, tet vav zayin, which is really more accurate because the book is called Turei Zahav. And people just took the first two letters, the first letter of each word, and called it the taz, which would sound like the tarei zahav, but it's really the turei zahav. So in any case, the taz says there that if when he acquired the money, it was his purpose to use it, if when he acquired the candles, he meant to use Maaser Ksafim money, then it's okay. But if he bought the candles and then afterwards said, oh, I don't really have the money for this, let me use my Maaser Ksafim money, then it's like paying off a debt with his Maaser Ksafim money. The Taz then goes on to say that the Drisha wrote in the name of the Maharam that you're allowed to use Maaser Kesafim money to be a Baal Brit. So a Baal Brit, I think, means that you'd be given an honor of the Brit, but would also pay for the meal, or Lachnis Chatan Lachupa, or to pay for a Chatan to be able to have a wedding, Olik Not Sfarim, or to buy Sfarim, Lilmod Bahem Ulahash Ilan La'acherim, or to learn with them and lend them to other people. And so the Shach also quoted this Maharam. So you seem to have two perspectives on Maaser Kesafim money. The Maharil seems to imply that Maaser Kesafim money, tithe for the tithing purpose, for the giving a tenth of our money to blank. The Maharil thinks that means staka. And when the Maharil said staka, what he means is money given to the poor because they can't support themselves. Whereas the Maharam seems to think that if it's a qualifying mitzvah purpose, that that's okay as well. And you have the Taz and the Shach quoting this Maharam and seeming to accept it. In Shut Chatam Sofer, which is also cited in brief in the Pitkei Tshuva, on the Shulchan Aruch, not the Mishnah Berurah, but on the Shulchan Aruch, right in Yoredei, where there is no Mishnah Berurah, on the Shulchan Aruch, there's a commentary called Pitkei Tshuva, which culled from the responsa literature and put it onto the page of the Shulchan Aruch. So there he quotes in brief a responsa of the Chatam Sofer, who said that there is no debate between the Maharam and the Maharil. That the Maharam, when he said you can use it for mitzvah purposes, and the Maharil said you can't, you should use it just for tzedaka, the Maharil was talking about a case of that his first three times of making money and setting it aside for Maaser Kesafim, he gave it to poor people. If that's true, then he's already established with a chazaka that his tithing of this money, his taking of this money, is for the poor. And then whatever he takes for those in that context in the future is going to be for the poor, and there's almost nothing he can do about it. That's what the Maharil was talking about. The Barama quotes that Maharil, that the Rama and the Maharil were talking about that situation. You have a person who starts his life, he takes Maaser Kesafim, he puts it away, he gives it to the poor. That man has established that his understanding of his Maaser Kesafim would be that it goes to the poor. If that's true, then you can't give it to other divrei mitzvah. So Bezalel Stern says, I don't fully understand the Chasam Sofer. So he thinks that his explanation is that if at the beginning of his taking the money he hadn't said anything about it, then he can't give it to anything else, because stam ma'as kesef ma'aser la'aniyim. Because the general assumption, if Bezalel Stern is claiming the Chasam Sofer understands it to mean, is the general assumption is that Maaser Kesafim goes to the poor, which is not, I think, most people's general assumption today. I think most people's general assumption today is the opposite, is that the general assumption is that Maaser Kesafim, money that we take off and we take a tenth of our money, is for qualifying mitzvah purposes, whatever the definition of qualifying mitzvah purposes is, which we'll have to get to later in this tshuva. So Bezalel Stern is saying that he thinks the Chasam Sofer is saying the general assumption would be that way. That's the Ramah and the Maharil we're talking about. But until one has done it three times, and we call Makom, he says, even if he's taken it one time, two times, and given it to the poor, as long as before the third time he says, I'm going to use this for all sorts of mitzvah purposes, then it should be okay. Then he's still okay, and he can do it that way. But if he's done it three times without making that condition, without saying explicitly that that's a clause about his separating this money for these purposes, then he no longer can. Bezalel Stern says he can't make that condition in the future. Now, he doesn't talk about it, but it seems to me that if somebody went and did a Hatarat Nedarim and said, I unwittingly made a vow, I didn't realize I was making a vow to only give it to the poor, but really I want to be able to use this money for mitzvah purposes, I would think in the going forward that should work. In any case, Bezalel Stern continues, Bezalel Stern, in Shulchan Aruch Yerideya, Reish Yudalad, when it comes to any minhag, it says if a person starts a minhag and his plan is to act that way forever, he does it even one time that way, then he needs a Hatarat Nedarim. And so in our situation, he says, even if he only took it one time, he set aside money, but he said, and this is going to be always my poor people's fund, then he couldn't change it. And so when the Chasam Sofer says three times, he must mean when he didn't say anything specific about it. He set it aside. He didn't have any plan for what he was going to do with them generally, but the first three times he gave it to poor people, the Chasam Sofer thought even in that situation, it makes it like a neder. And then he points out, Rav Zalster, that there's in the Nusach Matar Nedarim that people say around Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, people say, Oshin Adarti Vigamarti Belibi La'asot Shum Mitzvah, I made a vow, or I just intended to do a mitzvah, or some, or then we say, O Eze Davar Tov Shinahakti Gimel Pe'amim Velohit Neti Shia Beli Neder, or I did something good three times and I didn't say Beli Neder. So there is, Rabbi Zalstern is pointing out, halachic backing for the idea that if we act a certain way three times without saying Beli Neder, that takes on some important force, and therefore we should feel obligated to that mode of conduct. So the specific example here that we have is somebody gives his Maaser Ksafim money to poor people three times. That establishes an almost Neder that he will give it only to the poor. He also adds that you could claim, by the way, that the mitzvah purposes of the Taz mentions all have relevance to the poor. If that were true, that would sort of severely limit the kinds of mitzvah purposes one can use Maaser Ksafim money for. Because we had thought until now that Taz was saying you can decide to give it to any mitzvah purpose, and he gives all these examples that don't seem connected to the poor. If that were true, that's very broad. But one could argue that Taz meant, because it was true that in those times, the money collected for the lighting of the candles was often more than needed just for buying the candles and lighting them, and it would support a fund that would then be given to the poor. And you could have said that when the Maharam says you can be a Baal Brit, you can pay for the Brit Milah meal, or you can help a Chatan have a wedding, that's only when the father of the baby that needs a Brit Milah or the groom are poor. And therefore, the giving money to them is a supporting of the poor. So that's not that he's making the point explicitly, but it's a interesting comment on what qualifies as stucca to the poor, meaning it's stucca to the poor only when I give money to a poor person who needs money to eat or to live or to, you know, clothe and feed themselves. Or are there also other needs that poor people have, and supplying those might be considered giving to the poor? In other words, one theoretically could have said the Maharam doesn't disagree with the Maharil in that Maaser Ksafim must go to the poor. If somebody's done it three times, whatever, all as we said before, he doesn't disagree that Maaser Ksafim money needs to go to the poor. The Maharam was just pointing out that there's more to supporting the poor than just giving them food and clothing, and those needs also could be qualified as giving to the poor. So too with buying Sfarim. We had said one of the things that Maharam mentions is you can buy Sfarim, and I've seen people do this, and I always wonder about it, but we'll get to that. But you can buy Sfarim and lend them out to other people. So the Rav Zalman Stern says you still might have thought to yourself that that meant buy Sfarim and lend them to poor Lomdim, to poor Torah scholars who don't have a good library of their own and could not have these Sfarim. Maybe that's what he meant. So if that were true, then it would mean that all the ma'aseh mitzvah, all of the mitzvah activities that we thought we were going to be able to allow as a use for our ma'aser ksafim money would only be if there's going to be some benefit to the poor from that money and from that expenditure. But the Shach makes it clear that even when the father of the baby or the chatan are not poor, one is allowed to do that. So it seems that the Shach at least understood that our rights to use our Maaser Ksafim money, our tenth of our income that people give to, and you always say tzedakah, but part of the point of this tshuva is that tzedakah is too broad a term, because tzedakah really means what we give to the poor, either in the narrow sense of giving it to them directly so they can have food and clothing, or in the broader sense, or in the broader sense of providing other needs of theirs, including weddings and a Brit Milah, and maybe even Sfarim to be able to learn. That would be one sense of Maaser Ksafim, and then there's the even broader sense that the Shach seems to have, that maybe it includes, in his understanding of the Maharam, was that it could include, if we meant it to, any mitzvah purpose, as long as it's a mitzvah purpose. And then we have to get into the question of mitzvah purpose, which is going to be another part of this tshuva. To the Fizeh, he says, Lasia chatan ani, to marry off a poor groom would be mutter from Maaser Ksafim money, from the tenth money, even if the person didn't make a tanai, right? Even if the person had given it to the poor the first three times, would be included in it, and it would mean that one could do it even if one has the ability to support this chatan in other ways. Even if one would have supported the chatan in other ways, one still could use the ma'asik safim. But I mean, that's going to be another issue within ma'asik safim. Does it have to be used only for purposes where the man doing it, the man who's going to support this purpose, that would not have been able to do it or wouldn't have chosen to do it from his current money, from his regular accounts, from his regular money? So let's suppose that, you know, I'm friendly with a young chatan who wants to get married and I want to support him, and comes to me, says ready to get married, and I say, I would love to chip in because you're not able to do this on your own, and I want to be part of it, making this wedding happen. And I would do that for my own money. So you might have said, well, then that's a personal expense. That's not really a maser ksafim expense. So the Betzalel Stern is saying, no, if the katan is poor, and we read the Maharam as saying, you know, even the narrower reading of the Maharam was that if the katan is poor, one is allowed to use maser ksafim money. That would be true even if I would have done it anyway. When it comes to counts as a Baal HaBrit, in terms of being able to use Ma'asik Safim money, it's the father of the baby, it's the Moel, and the Sandek, which is part of, I think, why the Sandek was always such an honored position. It wasn't just an honor because you said, here, please, be the Sandek and hold the baby during the Brit. I think it was because the Sandek would be the person who was also paying for the meal that would celebrate for the Brit that was being had, I think, in any case. Then he quotes the Sefer Nachal Shiva, who says that explicitly, that even if he could have supported this chatan or even with other money, he's allowed to do it from this money because it's qualified need of Maser Ksafim that you can use Maser Ksafim money for, as opposed to buying Sfarim. He seems to think that that's only if he doesn't otherwise have the money to buy the Sfarim, and he's going to buy the Sfarim, the books, the Torah study books, and lend them to poor people, to poor Torah scholars who don't have it otherwise, only then is he allowed to do that. And that's because the Betzalel Stern says he thinks that buying Sfarim is never going to be considered tzedakah, even if you're going to lend them to poor people. It's not a tzedakah, it's a mitzvah. So a mitzvah you can do with Ma'asik Safim money, according to those who say you can, but that's only if you can't do it otherwise. So that's an important qualification when we think about using Ma'asik Safim money. According to Betzalel Stern, if it can be considered a helping of the poor in some way, then I can do it even if I have the money for it otherwise. But just to do a stam mitzvah, there he's not convinced. There he seems to think that you might be only allowed to do it if you can't do it otherwise. So if I'm going to say, well, I want to buy Sfarim, and yeah, I'll lend them to people, but I have the money to buy those Sfarim anyway. Rapsal Stern seems to think one should buy the money with the other money and not use my success money for that. Coming to the case at hand, it would seem that this chatan and kala are not particularly poor, and the reason why they say that is because the mechutan, the father of, I think, the kala, is setting up a bus to bring people to Canada. So it seems like he has money. Then that always gets to question. That gets to a question of what qualifies as poor or not poor. You know, and you're struggling. You don't know what to do because you want to be able to come to your wedding. So you're trying to be a good host. Does that mean all of a sudden that you're not poor? So in any case, Betzalel Stern seems to think, yes, that shows that they are not poor. So that would mean if the person set aside his ma'asik safim money without saying it's going to be for any mitzvah purposes, so then he can't use it for other mitzvah, he can only use it for poor people, and these people aren't poor people. And if he's done it that way three times, he doesn't even have to have said it explicitly. Like we said at the beginning of the tshuva, that anything that he separates in the future would then be assumed to be poor people money and not for any other purposes. But if it's not been three times that he says it's not successful money, or he made a condition before it was three times, then he can use it for other mitzvot, including haknasas chatan v'kala, including helping a chatan and kala get married. But that would seem to be, as a mitzvah purpose issue, he says it would seem to be only if he doesn't have the ability to do it on his own otherwise, and he wouldn't otherwise fulfill this mitzvah. That's the standard Betzalel Stern says. Now, that's the end of a tshuva. That's the first part of a tshuva. The next tshuva in the book is a continuation of this tshuva, and this is the one that's dated the 27th of Menachem Av. So far, we've had a discussion of Ma'asik Safim of our tithing. If we don't say that it's for general mitzvah purposes, then if after three times of setting it aside, it becomes just for the poor, although the broad sense of the poor. But if we've said that we can use it for other purposes, then we can use it for other purposes. But Rav Vishal Stern thinks that those mitzvah purposes that we can use it for are only those mitzvah purposes that we wouldn't otherwise do from our own money. That's what he understands sitting aside. Now, I think it's true that some of this depends on what the person thought or said as he did it, right? A lot of this is about what the person does if he doesn't say anything. But if somebody sets aside the money and says, listen, I'm going to use it for mitzvah purposes, then I'm setting it aside because this is going to be the money that I'm going to do for various mitzvah purposes. But if somebody says, I'm going to buy a lulav because I set aside for mitzvah purposes, I think that that's what Ritzal Shun means. Well, you can't do that because you buy a lulav on your own anyway. So I think what he means is it's got to be things that project, mitzvah projects that one would not undertake from one's own money, and the point of setting this aside is to give oneself a cushion and a bank account that one can look to and say, okay, these are good mitzvah purposes, I'm going to use them for it. So now, let's get to the question, and this is now in Kuf Samach Bet and Chelik Dalet. Let's get the question of paying for his travel expenses from Maaser Ksafim. Until now, he's spoken about Hachnasat Chatan Vekala, helping them make the wedding. But here, he's going, and his claim is, he's going to be Misameach Chatan Vekala. They'll be happier to see him. The wedding's happening, and he's not contributing to the wedding. So that experience of being Misameach them, that he fulfills by being there, by them seeing him and having him be part of their wedding. But the money that he's spending isn't for that. The money that he's spending is for the going. So the going, Rav Vishal Stern says, is a hechsher mitzvah. And so that's not so clear that you can use Maaser Ksafim for just a hechsher mitzvah. So he says he saw in a sefer called Nahar Mitzrayim that who had said, quoted from somewhere else, but who said that if Hashem allows somebody to go to Eretz Yisrael and to, you know, visit all the holy places of Eretz Yisrael, he plans to give their money to Torah scholars and to the poor, and that money could be from Maaser, because going to Torah scholars and the poor, but he explicitly paskins, but the cost of the trip, right, the expenses and the lodging and the food, that he can't use from Maaser Ksafim money. So that's what this sefer had said. When we call Makom for Sol Stern says, you can see it's different over there because that's where he didn't make any condition and therefore he only has to do it. But maybe if he made a condition that you can use it for mitzvah purposes, you can use it and use the money for the travel expenses as well. However, he says in that case, he thinks that in the Nahar Mitzrayim, it also points out that part of the reason he can't pay the expenses is because there are poor people where the man lives. So why doesn't he just give money to the poor people where he lives rather than spending some of the money to go to Eretz Yisrael to find poor people there? This is sort of the question like when you establish a foundation and you spend money that would otherwise go to good causes on just the technical costs of the foundation or of the giving organization, that's always a question, right? Why is that money, the answer might be there is a good reason, but the question that needs to be answered is why is that money being used for administrative expenses when it can go to the poor? Now, sometimes the answer is because we can give the money more effectively to the poor, to whatever other cause this foundation is for, by virtue of these administrative expenses. Or we can raise more money by virtue of these administrative expenses. So there are answers to that question, but that's the question he's sort of raising here, because he's saying, why are you traveling to Eretz Yisrael and paying the cost of the travel to Eretz Yisrael from your Maaser Ksafim money when you have poor people where you're living? Just give it to the poor people there. So that's a question. So that would be true in the case of the poor going to Eretz Yisrael, but in the case of going to the wedding, he can't be misameach the chatan v'kala, this chatan v'kala, where he is. And that's true, he points out, even for those who don't hold, although we generally do hold, even those who don't hold, aniyei yircha kodmim, even if you say that the aniyim of Eretz Yisrael, the poor of Eretz Yisrael, take priority over the poor, over other local poor, nonetheless, he thinks that the fact that we have the right, it's called Tovat Hana'ah, we have the right to choose who gets our tzedakah money, that doesn't allow us to spend some of that tzedakah money on the expenses of going to see the people in Eretz Yisrael to give the money to them. So that part of it, he thinks, can't come out of Maaser Ksafim money, and that would therefore mean that the traveling to the wedding shouldn't come out of Maaser Ksafim money. But he says, and he said more than that, he says that all of this discussion would have been about traveling to help with haknasat chatan v'kala. But in the midst of l'sameach chatan v'kala, to make them happy, to have them enjoy their wedding more, to create a simcha for them, that's not fully up to him. because if they're not particularly happy about his coming, right? Weddings are situations where lots of people come, and it's not that the chatan v'kala, the bride and groom, don't want everybody there, but some people are there. It's important to them that they be there, and they're thrilled to have them there. And some people are there, they're fine having them there, but it doesn't create any great extra simcha for whatever reason. And if that would be true, then this man asking the question would not have fulfilled a mitzvah. And how could it be that you use maser k'safim money, claiming that you're doing a mitzvah, simcha chatan v'kala, and you get there, and it turns out they're not that thrilled that you came, you don't really care. So you could say, well, but there's a Gemara in Brachot that says if somebody meant to do a mitzvah and it was out of their control to not do a mitzvah, that the Torah counts it as if they did a mitzvah. So he says that's just getting reward from Hashem, but he didn't actually fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore, Rizal Stern suggests that he thinks it would be, one should be careful not to spend maser sheni money for the mitzvah of simchat chatan v'kala, of making the chatan v'kala, the bride and the groom, happier, of helping celebrate their wedding, unless he knows for sure that the chatan or the kala will be very happy to see them there. So, for example, he said, oh, please come, we really want you there. And he says, and even with all that, it's just an ulai. It's a phrase, it's a Talmudic phrase, kulei hayv ulai. You make all these efforts and it will still be an ulai, meaning it's a big risk. You're using this money and you're going to go for the wedding. And if unless it really works out that way, it's not clear that it was a mitzvah, the purpose that you used it for, and therefore you might have spent money that you had set aside for mitzvah purposes for non-mitzvah purposes. So I apologize. There's actually three tshuvot in a row. It's Kuf Samach Gimel is the last of the three. They're all directly about this issue. It's not three separate tshuvot. He simply split them up into three tshuvot, I think, because he thought they were different aspects of the question. So the aspect number one was what one is allowed or not allowed to do with maaser k'safim money. Aspect number two was whether Mesimchas Chatan V'Kala, right? Helping a Chatan V'Kala be happy and celebrating with them and increasing their joy in their wedding was a mitzvah purpose that could be used, Maaser K'safim could be used for, that the tenth that we set aside for mitzvah purposes could be used for. And now, the third question, this is in Kuf Samach Gimel, and this is the one, I know I said it before, this time I see it on the page in front of me, so I hope I'm right. 27th of Av, of Tavshin Lamed Chet of 1978. And here's a question of, now that we, let's assume even that one is allowed to pay for one's travel to the wedding from maaser k'safim money, so we're so sure, we're so confident that the chatan or the kala, that the bride or the groom will be so happy to see this person at the wedding that it will increase their joy and therefore will qualify as a mitzvah purpose. And now we're assuming that the going, therefore, also qualifies as a mitzvah purpose. Now the question is, can you pay more to go in a way that's more comfortable? Meaning, right, he wants to pay with maaser k'safim money. He wants to use his tenth, his tithed money, his set-aside money for mitzvah purposes, to pay for a plane ride when he could take a bus for free. Now, if the bus wasn't there, then he assumes, the man asking the question, that he could certainly take a plane. And so the Rivetzal Stern in B'tzela Chachma says, I'm not sure that that's true. The Maharam in the tshuva that we've started with says you need two factors. One, that you can't do it from your own money. And two, that you wouldn't have borrowed money or sold items of yours to fulfill this mitzvah. If you wouldn't have done those things, then you can use maaser k'safim money. So in our situation, so let's assume that he can't do it by bus. Even though he could have maybe rested along the way and he could have gotten off and stretched his legs, but he wouldn't have done it that way. So it seems like maybe it qualifies that it's not in his ability to do it by bus. He'd have to do it by plane. And he wouldn't have borrowed money to do it by bus because I would go by plane. He would just said, I can't make it. I'm not able to go by bus and I can't make it. So then he's able to use maaser k'safim money. But if he can push himself, right, and rest along the way, or when he gets to, right, and take breaks, right, so then it's as if he has the ability to do it in a different way, and it's not as clear that he's allowed to use maaser k'safim money. So, to close with his halakhic conclusions, somebody sets aside maaser k'safim money without saying anything about it 1-3 times, he should probably give it to the poor people of the future. if he gave it two times without saying anything and gave it to Aniyim, he can make a Tanai, he can set a clause in the before the third time that it should be for broader purposes than just giving directly to the poor. If he did it three times and gave it to the poor without saying anything, then afterwards we assume that everything that was given, that is said before, is given to the poor, and that's his practice, and that's what he has to assume is his practice, as I said before, unless he changes it. If he made that condition, by the way, before the first time, then even if the first three times he gave it to the poor, he still can give it to other mitzvos as well, because he'd already made clear that that's what he's doing. If he did one time and he gave it to the poor and he intended to give it to the poor always and then later realized he had other clauses that came up that he wanted to be able to give to, so that is a problem and he can't do it in the future, I think, unless he did Atara and Nedarim. Now, even if he makes the condition and he says he's going to use it for mitzvah purposes, the mitzvah purposes that he can use it for, the Rav Tzal Stern thinks, have to be those mitzvah purposes that he could not finance with other money, with his ordinary money, and he wouldn't have been mekayim that mitzvah, he wouldn't have fulfilled that mitzvah with his money. So let's say one person would be allowed to use Maaser Ksavim money for, let's say, buying Sfarim and lending them, because in his neighborhood, everybody's poor, and they don't have the money for Sfarim. And this man, too, doesn't have the money for Jewish Torah study books, or not as much as he would like to be able to have. And therefore, he's going to buy the books, and he's going to put them in a situation. I once came across somebody's private library, and it said in it, it's my successful money, and I'm happy to lend this to other people. But it was in his private house, so I never understood how people would know that they were able to come borrow it and come lend to it. So let's suppose in our situation, man doesn't have the money for Sfarim, but he wants to really use the money and lend it to other people and put it in a place where everybody would be able to use it. That might be acceptable. But another person who has plenty of money for Sfarim, for Jewish Torah scholar books, and he's going to lend them out to use my successful money for that, Rav Tzal Stern is saying that doesn't qualify, because that's a personal financial need that he can take care of, a mitzvah need, but a financial need he can take care of on his own. And the idea that one is allowed to use that by successful money to give it to whoever one wants to, that's only if he's not going to have to spend on finding the people that he wants to give it to. But the costs in being able to give out that money, Rav Tzal Stern doesn't think are allowed to come from by successful money. And then to pay the cost of going to a wedding, he thinks isn't right, because you don't know for sure that the Chatan HaKala will be happy with seeing you there, and it'll be a real mitzvah of Simchat Chatan HaKala. And where you can, you could use that money to spend a little extra to go in more comfort, if otherwise it would stop you from going the wedding at all. If you wouldn't have gone, so then you can pay a little extra to go for the wedding, to be able to go in comfort so that you wouldn't have the stress of the road. And that's the end of it. And that's our tshuva day. I went a little over time today. I apologize. But I thought it was interesting tshuva in terms of when we set money aside for mitzvah purposes, what we are and aren't allowed to do with those purposes, including whether or not we're allowed to go to weddings. Have a great day. This is a responsible day for the 27th of Av. See you next time.